Hey, it's great to see you today. I'm so glad you're able to join me. Today, I want to put to you that understanding who Jesus is really just to simply believe. I've titled my message today, Just Believe. You know, when my kids were young, my wife, who's sitting on the front row, put some great values into our kids. And one of the things that she taught our kids, particularly my son Ryan, was to pray. And right at a very young age, literally 3, 4, 5 years of age, still in the car seat, she taught him to pray. I'm not sure if it was this for his sake or for her sake, but anybody experienced when you go into a Westfield shopping centre, particularly Saturday afternoon, parking is a little hard to find. So she taught my son to pray for parking spots. Any other mums into that? Wow, lots of mums. Lots of sinners in the... I mean, lots of... anyway, so my son was so well trained, and I wasn't sure. As a father, I was like, well, does God really care about a parking spot? He's got lots of other things on his agenda without the parking spot. And who knows, Westfields are so annoying now with those little parking things with green and red lights. And there's 2 bays down here, and you go down 2 bays down here, and there's no bays there. What are they talking about? Things never... Anyway, it's a whole other issue. And so parking isn't sort of one of my finest things. And so anyway, I wasn't sure whether I believed. But the truth is, every time we pulled into a parking spot, my son in his little car seat in the back, without even being prompted now, would go, Jesus, will you give us a spot? Amen. And then he'd just go back to whatever he was doing. And the worst part about it is every time he did that, we would get a spot. So I decided one day when I was by myself, after I've been driving around for about 15 minutes, okay, I'm going to employ this. Let's see if it can work. Lord, would you give us a spot? I had a bit more of a flowery prayer because I'm an adult. And I prayed. An hour later, I was still driving around. And the simple truth is that I really, in that area, had overcomplicated my faith. I actually had a lack of belief. My son didn't know any better. He just sat in the back and went, Jesus, will you give us a spot? And boom, it always happened. Today, I want to talk to you about just believe. Why is it that we've so complicated our faith? Why is it that we're thinking about the theology of this and the theology of that, not realizing that we have a Father in heaven who loves us so much that if we would just ask, He would come through in our lives? So today I pray for each person in this room that we would understand that we have a Father that wants to go on our behalf. And today I pray that people would leave knowing that they have a Father who loves them so much. If they would just ask, He would come through again and again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you've got a Bible, turn somewhere. Oh. Mark chapter 11. Sorry. I thought you were prophetic. Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Take note of that. Jesus was hungry. Anybody else here hungry? Spirit of hunger, go in Jesus' name. He's seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf. He went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was the season, was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. Move to then verse 20. In the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours in Jesus' name. Church, I want to talk to you about this today because this story has two parts to it. The first part is interesting, and Jesus has something in common with us as Melbournians, Victorians, and that is he was hungry. You go out into our every area in Melbourne and there are so many restaurants, it's out of control. And we pay ridiculous prices for food here, but we keep doing it. And if you don't feed the hunger, guess what? You get a little bit gnarly, a little bit upset, a little bit... And really, when we see this here... Angry, yeah, that's another word, thank you. And but when you see this here, you actually see that really this isn't like some super spiritual story. Jesus is hungry. Not hungry for the things of God, he's hungry for food. So he walks in and he sees a tree. It's a fruit tree, a fig tree. And guess what? You don't get fruit out of season on a fruit tree. And he walks up to it and he's Jesus. He created the earth. So he pretty much knows that fruit doesn't grow on fruit trees when it's out of season. So why is it then that he tells the tree to die when it doesn't have fruit on it? This is not fair on the poor little fig. But he walks up to it, and actually what he's trying to establish is a principle that when his word is spoken or when his name is used and whatever it is, in season or out of season, doesn't respond, it must die. Now, this isn't talking about people, but it is talking about attitudes. It is talking about mindsets. It is talking about cynicism must go at the name of Jesus. Then we read on in the story, and here is Peter walking along the very next day, and he walks past the fig tree and he goes, "Oh, Jesus, Rabbi, the fig tree has died." Now you've got to love Peter. Thank God he's in the Bible. I mean, Jesus says, he curses the tree to die, and it dies, and Peter gets shocked. Not dissimilar to some of us, by the way. And anyway, Peter, you know, he cuts off the ear of the guard and he denies Christ and he does, and you're like, oh, thank God Peter's in the Bible. Because, you know, if he can make it, so can we. Even so much so that Jesus says, upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church. Guess what? He's building his church upon us. I am not my mistakes. I love that line in that song that we sing. Because you see, with Jesus, we go beyond. And so here in this case, he then turns to Peter and he says, "Peter, why are you shocked? Do you not know if you simply believe in my name, mountains can even be removed?" And he teaches a principle that Peter should have well known. Today, I ask you the question again, do you simply just believe? That circumstance in your business, do you believe? That issue in your health, do you believe? For your finances to increase, do you? Or do you just say, well, it's too small. It's not really that significant to God. Maybe he wants me to be in this place. What? He's a father. He wants to come through for you. So today I want to get rid of the sense of a lack of belief, even the smallest of lack, so that we can step into all that God has purpose for us. So I'm going to ask you three questions today to reposition yourself to make sure that you're in a place of belief. The first question is, what are you asking for? What are you asking for? Because the Bible says here, and Jesus responds to Peter and says, if you ask, it will be done for you. So what are you asking for today? What are you asking for in your family? What are you asking for in your marriage? What are you asking for in your workplace? What are you asking for in your health? Because I tell you, he wants to come through in your circumstances. A number of years ago, I was at a conference. This conference was a great conference. And there's lots of great teachers. And taken lots and lots of notes. Got to this particular speaker. And actually, all I'd done is written his name on the page. And he'd been speaking about 30 minutes. His name was Reinhard Bonnke. I didn't even spell his name right. Can you imagine? Reinhard Bonnke. And I'm sitting in the crowd listening to what he's saying. And the truth is, I can't remember anything anybody else said all those years ago, but I can still remember what he challenged me that day. something about the power to impart. And Reinhard Bonnke, when he starts to speak, is a scary individual. I don't know if you've ever seen, like, you know, sometimes I was talking to Pastor Leo I was talking to him last night. I said, sometimes when Germans speak, it's just so scary. Just normal conversation. You know, he says things like, a blood-washed Africa. Well, he can't just say, blood-washed Africa. It's a blood-washed Africa. And you feel like he's going to reach across the table and rip you apart. You know, plunder hell, populate heaven. Plunder hell, populate heaven. And that's pretty much all he said the whole message, but I can remember it. At the end, he said, who are you believing for? He said, I've seen 50 million people make decisions for Christ in the last 10 years. He even told this story. He said, I went to the Lord one day and he said, Jesus, I'm not happy. And I reckon Jesus even responds to him because he's a little bit scared as well. He said, Jesus, in each crusade, I only see 1 million get saved. I've been seeing that for 5 years. From now on, I want to see 2 million. And he said, from that moment on, he always saw over 2 million people make decisions for Christ. The power of asking. But he was in the meeting and he said, if you want to see more people get saved this year, if you want to believe God, stand to your feet. And pretty much the whole auditorium stood. Some, I think, stood just because they were scared. He was going to reach out and say, why aren't you standing? But I stood and I got my hands raised and the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Gives me a number of 1,000 people in the next 12 months. Now, in the context of our lives now, we see that. But back then, a few hundred I might have seen over a year in different things I was involved in. Big number. I left that meeting, forgot all about it. And 3 months later, I'm in Singapore sitting in a meeting. Planet Shakers band was actually playing in another church in Singapore. And I was sitting in the meeting, I receive a text that says, will you come and preach? The preacher has fallen sick and we really need you to come and preach. I said, sure. I said, but, you know, I'm in another meeting. And they said, yeah, we need you to come. How long have I got? 10 minutes. I didn't have a Bible, didn't have anything. I walked to the meeting and as I get to the back, it's packed. 12, 13,000 people in this room, biggest crowd at that stage I'd ever been speaking to. So nervous, I've got no Bible, got no notes, got no message. And I'm walking down the aisle and there's this guy standing next to me and he's telling me all this stuff. In Singapore, when you take up a salvation altar call, you've got to get them to fill out tick boxes. If you know anything about Singapore, it's like rules. Even when you get saved, you've got to make sure you tick every box or you're not saved. So I'm thinking, nobody's going to get saved here. And then I said, how long have I got? And he goes, well, when you get to the stairs, you're on. I'm walking towards the front. Great, got nothing. Get on the stage. As I walk across the stage, I remember Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, remember the 1,000. Suddenly something in me lifted. I can't tell you what I preached that day to this day. But what I do know is 1,250 people made first-time decisions for Jesus in that meeting. Imagine if I'd never asked. The question is, what are you asking for? You're not getting because you're not asking. So many of us are putting up with a life that we currently have, not asking for what the Lord can and will do through you.
Oh, there's such power in the name of Jesus. You know, all we need to do is just believe. I want to encourage you to continue to believe God as we start to look and understand that we're not just asking for us, but we're asking for future generations.
Who are you standing with? Who are you standing with? You see, even Jesus always sent them out, what? Two by two. Because he understood that iron sharpens iron. We need each other to stand together. You can come to church like this, it can be a large crowd of people, but still be disconnected, still be isolated, still be alone. We need each other to spur each other on. You know, over the last few weeks, I had the privilege of being in South Africa and we went to Art Borsorf's conference there. And I was there and there was thousands. And our environment is incredible. But when I went into his environment, I went, wow, this is the next level. And because he's our friend, iron sharpens iron. I started to go, wow, we've accepted something that's okay, but we can go to the next level. There's so much more that God has for us. The next week, I went to Bogota, Colombia. I preach. It's a lot. Somebody here from Colombia. I've got to say,
Oh, there's lots of people here from Colombia. Stand up if you're from Colombia. Wow. Wow, look at all these people. They're awesome. And I was there and I went to this church, Andrew Corson, and he's been coming to our conference and he's preached at the Southeast Campus and Pastor Russell's preached there. And I went there and they told me I had to do 8 services, 3 on Saturday, 5 on Sunday. Sunday morning service starts at 7:30 a.m., the first service. They have an auditorium of 3,000. They have one overflow of 1,200, another overflow of 500, another overflow of 300, and then about 6 more of 70, 80. Anyway, by 6:30 in the morning, every venue is completely full. It doesn't start till 7:30. So then there's a line of thousands waiting for the next service, which is at 9:30. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. The pastor actually told me, he said, we tell people not to invite people to church. So what do you mean? He said, we don't have any space. Where are we going to put them? And we went out to dinner that night and the chef recognized him because he's on TV all over the country. And the chef sits talking to him and I was there and they were speaking in Spanish, so I didn't understand most of it. But at the end I said, oh, did you invite him to church? He goes, no, we can't fit them. I said, but what about your TV? He said, my TV show doesn't even tell them I have a church. Because if it did, we'd just pack it out. They're building a new auditorium, 5,000-seater, about 20 minutes down the road. And he's telling me that that will be totally full the first day they open, 10,000 people with 2 services. And then the other building will still be full. He said, so I still really don't want people to invite people. On the building, there's no signage at all. Planet Shakers goes there, like I was going there. They said to me, don't post anything till after you preach, or otherwise too many people will come. I mean, every other church in the world is saying, can you post like 2 years before we come? But you see, when you stand together with someone that's bigger, there's something that stirs you. In this room, there's some generals. In this room, there's some greats. The person sitting right next to you is part of the key to you seeing what God has purposed for your life. The question is, who are you standing with? Who are you? Don't do it alone. Don't come here and say, oh, but there's nobody. Get to an urban life group. There's one on this week all over the city. Get along. Be a part. But I look and I see some seats over here and I see the curtain closed and it's a long weekend. Guess what? It was a long weekend, the weekend I was there 2 weeks ago. Didn't matter. Still 40,000 people showed up. Like every time I'd walk out and I was like, surely these are the same people. Surely these are the same people. But they weren't. Hey, church, what are we believing for? What are we standing together for? Those seats at the back should be full every service. But it's not the people at the front to pray that in. It's us to stand together and say, who are we going to invite? Who are we going to believe for? Because you see, all we need to do is just believe. What are you asking for? Who are you standing with? But the third question is so important. Because we need to understand that we don't do this alone or for ourselves. See, if we start asking for, oh, it's just about my home and about, God wants to answer every prayer. But we need to recognize that we're actually purposed that we would stand in the gap for this next generation. Who will stand in the gap for this generation? You know, I was just down at Parliament House this week here in Victoria. And I walked around that building. I looked up at one stage and thought, wow. As I stood in the lower house and I listened to some of the debate that was going on, I started to think we need some people to stand up. We've had many leaders in our nation just in the last 3 or 4 years. We keep seeing changes and we're watching around the world. I was just in America. Oh my goodness. Please help me, Jesus, Trump or Hillary. Huh. It's like, let's not vote for any of them, please. But the truth is, our hope is not in them. Our hope is not in our leadership. Our hope is in the Lord. And we need to recognize that He appoints and He removes, so we have the ability to stand in the gap for this generation. Hosea 10:12, my favorite passage of Scripture, says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in unfailing love, break up your unplowed ground. I tell you, Pastor Russell and Sam are stirring us again to break up our unplowed ground, not sit in our seats, but when praise comes, get into praise at a whole nother level. Not just because we're actually wanting people to jump, but because we're creating an atmosphere over our city, over our nation, over our lives, and that we would be people that wouldn't grow familiar. Break up your unplowed ground, for now's the time to seek the Lord your God and see showers of righteousness on this generation. Australia needs Jesus. I'm excited about discipling the nation of Papua New Guinea, but what about the nation of Australia? That we would be people that would rise up for our generation. Oh, I'm stirred. My friend Christopher Long from Malaysia tells me a story of a camp that he preached on. He was speaking to the chief of the village, and the chief was telling him about his village. He talked about an 18-year-old evangelist that came to the village just a couple of years before he was speaking at this camp. And he said this young man came and he was an evangelist going from village to village. What he would do is he'd go to the tribal chief, and this is in China, on the coast in China, and he said he'd go to them and ask them if he could speak to the village. And if the chief said yes, then he could preach openly. And so some said yes, some said no. But he went to this one and he said, doesn't your Bible say that in the name of your God, if you believe, mountains can be removed? The young man said, yes. He said, follow me. So they followed him down to the coastline, and they're standing on the beach and they look out, and there's a little island with like a little hill, not really a mountain, but a hill. And the chief says to him, you see that? That spoils my view every morning. If you can remove that, you can preach to my people. Now, who knows that if you were the 18-year-old evangelist, you'd say, thanks very much, chief, I'm out of here, next village. But not this little 18-year-old. He said, give me somewhere to pray. So the chief gave him somewhere. He went, prayed, and he fell asleep. He wakes the next morning, and the chief and pretty much the whole village is waiting outside. He walks out and they say, have you seen what's happened? He said, no. He said, come with me. So the chief leads him, stands on that beach again. He says, look, can you see? The young man says, I can't see anything. The chief said, exactly. The island's gone. The young man, without missing a beat, turns to chief and said, can I preach to the people now? He preached over 5,000. The whole village got saved. And my friend speaking at the camp 2 years later, it's not a story, it's the truth that of something that took place. And how many of us, when we see a mountain, when we see a hill, when we see an island, when we see a sickness, when we see, you know, a financial challenge, when we see something going on in our family with our kids, just go, well, I'm going to the next village. Who will stand in the gap for this next generation? It's as simple as just believe. Oh, but you don't understand my circumstance. I've had this sickness in my body for many years. I've had this challenge going on in my business. My cash flow never seems to get right. You know, there's the circumstance with my kids at school. I've got a kid that's away from God, and you should see some of the stuff they're getting into. How could God ever come through in that situation? I want to tell you that you serve a God who, when you actually bow your head and say, Jesus, will you give me a spot? He cares, however big or small it might be. You've just simply got to believe. How many of us have missed, you know, our calling or missed our opportunity simply because we complicate it rather than stepping into what we are purposed to believe? I stood in the corridors of power here. I started to think, God, who's going to rise up for this generation? I began to listen to this politician who started to tell me some of the bills that are on the floor of our parliament right now. One of the bills is that there would be equal opportunity employment for Christian and religious organisations. In other words, anybody can apply to become a pastor in our church, even if they're not Christian. I mean, how does that even work? But they're pushing that'll go through. It's quite possible it will. We look at some of the moral issues that are going on right now, and I don't think we need to live with fear. Even if those things get through, we got to remember that we serve the name that is above all names. He's in control. He appoints and he removes. But hey, We have a responsibility to begin to ask. What are you asking for? I don't want my kids to go to a school that has no morality. I'm asking that God would actually intervene with some of this stuff we're seeing in schools right now. I'm not just going to fight flesh and blood, but oh, principalities and powers, we've already won the victory. But yeah, we can passively say, well, what can I do? We can stand together. We can begin to ask. We can stand in the gap for this generation. We can be those people that say, yes, Lord, I'll put my hand up. I'm going to stand for your purpose. Just believe. Today, I want to encourage you to put into practice what I've spoken. You know, let's not overcomplicate it. The truth is Jesus loves you. Our Father in heaven is there for you. And the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you. So all you simply need to do is just believe.